20. John 20, that's me, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to be jumping around in other areas, but that's the main Bible reading. John 20, verses 19 to 21. John 20, verses 19 to 21. You know, I go to many churches nowadays and you don't hear the rustle of paper at all. John 20, verses 19 to 21. In my version, it says, joy unspeakable. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Then jumping to Luke, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And I'm jumping to Acts 2. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. And finally, Acts 13:47. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would speak to us. That, dear Lord, you would clear out our ears, our hearts, our minds. If they're full of dross of the world, that you would speak directly to us. That, dear Lord, as we prayed here this morning, that you would give us this day our daily bread. That you would provide to us, dear Lord, your blessing in power and in grace. That you would open up your word to us. That you would reveal yourself to us in your word. That, dear Lord, that you would speak directly and clearly. And that we would not be afraid. And dear Lord, we would understand what you would say to us. Dear Lord, we ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Well, thank you for inviting me today. I think Nessia, I'm glad you're not here the next time I'm here. So may the Lord bless you and keep you safe and bring you back. And you would come back with many tales. And I'd be interested to hear them in the new year. So we're looking forward to that. And we will pray for you that the Lord will keep you safe and secure. I wonder if we ever ask ourselves this question. I think many people do, especially outside the church perhaps, is why did Jesus come into the world? You may perhaps, there's many people who feel today that God's in the way. His intervention in the world today is unwanted, unnecessary, unwarranted, and just an annoyance. You may feel, well, you're doing fine, you get by. You're good to those around you. Your boat is stable, your food on the table, there's drink available to you. What could God do? Especially if he brings in loads of rules and regulations into our lives. One of the things that when Christ appeared to his disciples, he said, peace be with you. And because of that, and they knew of his presence, and the fact that he breathed on them, they received joy. Joy in their lives. I wonder if you know what the meaning of joy is. Joy. Joy is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder here today, if you are living in that power, in its fullness, and the fact that you feel the joy of Christ. For you see, the disciples were full of joy. Joy unspeakable. They had to wait for a fresh infilling so that they could go out into the world and tell people. And they were assured of this. They knew of this. Even doubted Thomas that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you, Terry. No good rely on Terry. You may think, well, perhaps this happened 2,000 years ago in a strange land to a strange people who spoke a foreign language, and that's little to do with us. What is all this Bible stuff really got to do with anything? That perhaps we do not understand it because it's full of jargon. We love to use these words like redemption and salvation. There's a whole range of jargon words that we have that many people don't understand, if we tell them that you need to be born again. I hope tonight that all of you have been born again, that you've been filled with God's Holy Spirit, that He's come into your life and He's transformed you, that He's enabled you to be a person or a people who you wouldn't imagine could possibly be. I know He's done that in my life. If before Christ came into my life, you would never have me up here. And I'm sure Terry will say the same to you. We weren't even contemplating it. We'd be running down the road. So it's the Lord's fault that we're here. Yeah, you may think about that yourself as well. Think, why? Do you realize how precious you are as God's people? How much He loves you. I know we talked about that this morning. But He wants to pour joy into your life. He wants to say, come to Me, My people, that I may share My dreams with you so that you might have dreams and that we can take this world, that we can transform this world. If you think about it, I know it mentioned that, you know, where's the rest of the people that should be here? And I think to myself, Lord, what have they got to go through so that they might come through the doors of this place to find You? What have they got to go through? What have they got to go through? I know I had to lose my job to come to the Lord. What did you go through? What do those people outside of this place have to go through? This Christianity thing. That in the world, we all know what's currently happened in our media now regarding yet another minister and what he's been up to. And then we wonder why perhaps people don't come over the doors of our homes because they see, well, it's no, you're no different to the world. Well, we know, by and large, we aren't. But there's so much more to us, if only that they would lift the cover. If only they would come to us. But how do we portray ourselves? Do you tonight have joy in your life? Are you full of God's Spirit? Is He enabling you? And do you have the sparks of fire and power of Christ? For you know that He has died for you. And He's got you in His hands. And He's saying to you, peace be with you. And He says again, peace be with you and receive the Holy Spirit. It seems that we, perhaps as a people, are divorced from God. If you look at the history of this universe, a long, long time ago, God created a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. And they rebelled against God. And one of the other jargon words, which really the world has no concept or really what it means, they sinned or they were disobedient. Don't talk to the world about disobedience. They'll rebel against you because we're asking them to have discipline in their lives. But they were disobedient against God. Now, at that point, God could have said, okay, let's wipe the slate clean, or we'll just leave that bit over there, and I'll create a brand new universe, because this is what our scientists love to tell us at the moment. I'm going to create a brand new universe over here, and populate with the people who really love Me. Who really love Me. But He didn't. Because He came back. Because He so loved His children that He was prepared to sacrifice Himself for them so that He could appear to them and say, peace be with you. And receive the Holy Spirit. If you read the story of Genesis, you'll discover this story of this man and woman who rebelled. And they were ashamed when they rebelled because they saw their nakedness. And it had nothing to do with them physically or to do with their bodies. It was that their innocence had been stripped away. And unfortunately, a sacrifice had to be made. I wonder how many of us have looked at that sacrifice that was made then. Out of God's creation that he had created and was perfect at the time, he had to take some animals and God had to kill them, strip them of their skin and then place that on that what he had created. That's what we made. That's what we forced God to do. God had to kill for us. God had to kill for us. But that didn't cover what we'd done. All that enabled us to do is for us to live with what we had done. And because of that, and he couldn't look at us anymore, he banished us from his presence, even though he desired us to be with him. Because you see, he created us for him. It's our purpose to bring pleasure to him because he loves us so much. Because we've sinned, because we rebelled, because of those first humans had done, we unfortunately are tarred with the same issues, for we are their progeny. We can't get away from Adam and Eve, for that is our ultimate ancestors. If you could go on the BBC program, Who Do You Think You Are? And they could trace it back and trace it back and trace it back. It would go back to Adam and Eve. We can't escape our inheritance. Because just like the first humans, we rebel against God. This world rebels against God. When was the last time somebody hit somebody else? I'm sure you, because of the era that you live in, you see perhaps a lot of this or hear about it. When was the last time that we had the wrong sort of thoughts that we have for each other? When was the last time we lose our temper? When we started to hate someone? When was the last time that we stole and took the Lord's name in vain? And that we've kept the Sabbath holy, and we've honored our mother and father. All these thoughts and actions are contrary to the way that God had created us, wanted us to be, but we were a people of rebellion, those first humans. And that rebellion has been given to us like our inheritance, written in the will of those who have gone before us. But Christ came. Christ came and give us a new inheritance if we desire to pick it up, if we desire to have that in our lives. So rather than feel despondent and miserable, we can feel joy. For Christ comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." I say again, "Peace be with you." Receive the Holy Spirit. And if we trust Christ, what does he say next to us? He says, "I am sending you. I am sending you." You may say, "Well, how on earth can the Lord send me?" If I said to Terry 40 years ago, "Terry, would you get up and say a poem?" It would probably be impossible for him. But today, the Lord has sent him for a task. What is the task that the Lord has for you? It may be just speaking to your neighbor. It could be because you are a member and a leader in the church. But remember, because of that, you have a position of authority and power, and you are able to command the storehouses of heaven. And I've preached to you regarding this before, the storehouses of heaven, that you can say, "Open them, Lord, so that we might be able to bless those, so this place would be filled with those who need to know you. Give them a hunger, Lord, that they might come and desire you. Give them a thirst, Lord, that nothing else can satisfy. That the Lord would be like that cool drink. You see it on the adverts, don't you, where it's full of ice. There's the condensation on the outside. It's a hot summer's day and you desire that drink. If only the people of this earth would desire the Lord even in that small way. The disciples knew Christ. They knew that joy unspeakable when the presence of the Holy Spirit came. When it came upon them. Jesus knew that Holy Spirit would bring them joy. And that joy is available to you. I wonder what joy that you know, or perhaps the mass majority of your congregation know. Do they just know the joy of pain? Do they know the joy of loneliness? Do they know the joy of suffering? Or is it because of God that they know the joy of healing? That they know the joy of completeness of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That they know of holiness in their suffering because they know Christ is with them? Joy is gladness, rejoicing, the evidence of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you go anywhere near Starbucks, but they've got signs up at the moment. Spread the joy. It's got nothing to do with Christ. Nothing at all. It's about coffee. And having a mug for Christmas. They have no comprehension of what joy means. Our dictionaries, our modern dictionaries, have taken out the meaning of Christ and the Holy Spirit. But it's the joy is the gladness and rejoicing and the evidence of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Is your life filled with the Holy Spirit? And this isn't to bring condemnation or conviction into your life, but rather it's to bring encouragement. For Christ is willing to stand before you and say, "Peace be with you." I say to you, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And as I have been sent, I sent you also. And Jesus Christ comes into our lives, we're transformed by Him, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He fixes us, He completes us, He transforms us, and we have union with Him. Tonight, are you complete? Are you whole? Do you know your place, or are you lost? Perhaps you've walked away from Him over time. Or you're afraid, like I'm afraid a lot of the times, to grasp hold of His power and say, "Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, open heaven and allow the bounty in which You have to come and change what is going on here." In my version of the Bible, the NIV, it says 63 times in the New Testament, "Be filled with joy." Well, tonight, you know, joy is gladness, rejoicing, and a life that's evident because it's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 14, verse 17, it says this, "Yet He has not left Himself without testimony." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." That's our Lord. Have you received this rain from heaven in your life? Is there a big table before you groaning with food like a great banquet in your life, which is Jesus? Do you know His kindness? Do you have a testimony to bring regarding what Jesus has done about you and you are prepared to tell others? Or is it that you're just divorced from Him? Your union is forced because it's what you have to do. Or do you know the joy of Christ in your life? Jesus is never sparing in His blessing. Rather, He wants to give His all. I wonder if you're ready to accept a deluge from heaven. That you're ready to receive the breath of God in your life, so you can act and be Christ's disciples. That you might know this joy unspeakable, which is full of power and purpose, full of love and full of life. I don't know how much you know of the early church's history, but there was such power of God's Holy Spirit in the world. You had such great things going on that's not even mentioned in the Bible, but it's written in church history, that in a lot of instances, Peter was sent out to dampen it down because they weren't bringing glory to God. But that's how wonderful our God is. He's willing to spill into anyone's life. And if they understand who and what he is in their life and situation, he's willing to work. Willing to work. So that it might bring him glory to encourage others to know him. You see, God desires to bless you. God wants to keep you. God wants to draw you to him. But are you willing? Do you want to get close to him? This relationship which is created and cemented in the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you accepted the Holy Spirit in your life? And do you want to know this joy that as the disciples knew, which was unspeakable, that took a fresh anointing so that they could go and talk a little about it? Do you want this for yourself? Do you want this for this place? Do you want it in your life so it would spread not only to you but to your family? For Christ is amongst you. We've met in his name, and he says to you tonight, peace be with you. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here this evening. We're going to spend a little time of quiet with you, dear Lord, that you would minister to them. That, dear Lord, perhaps someone here needs a fresh anointing. That perhaps somebody in here tonight needs to open the shutters and allow you in, the sun, to beam into their lives. That perhaps tonight, dear Lord, there's someone who needs to ask you in for the first time. That their pretense has been found out, but the Lord said, I welcome you. I lift you up and hold you. But you are my son, you are my daughter. Thank you for accepting my sacrifice of my son so that you might come to me. Spend a few moments of quiet then with the Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in the people here. And Lord, I beseech you and cry out to you that you would fill this place so others would come to know you like these people have tonight. Lord, let not the heavens be as brass, but break them, dear Lord, and allow people to come and worship you. Because tonight, Lord, it's been read out to us. What's going to happen to them? They're going to have a ticket to that hotel in hell. Save them, God. Save them. Don't let your sacrifice be in vain. And dear Lord, I pray that the people here tonight, that they would have a part in that saving. Give them success, dear Lord, in this place. Walk amongst them in power. Walk amongst this town, dear Lord. That people would come and seek you out amongst your loved ones here. I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.